and it wasn't long before the conversation turned to the more serious issues of the day. When I espoused what I thought was an irrefutable fact to back up my argument, I was shut down. The dinner party guests vehemently refused to continue the conversation, and I was told we would never agree on this issue, so let's move on. This had a profound effect on me. Looking back, it dawned on me that I have always struggled to get my voice heard, which is why I suppose I'm a writer. I say things in my plays that I can't say in real life. I attended City College in New York 30 years ago as an undergraduate, and it was where I was politically and creatively awakened, and where I found my voice. The fictional City College in this play is emblematic of that awakening. But another reason why City College is a very personal play for me is that it has been inspired by dissenting voices that are shut down in public debate, either by a polarizing news media or by the sanctity of groupthink, and by those who believe that there isn't diversity of thought within groups lumped together under the umbrella of diversity. And especially at universities, which are traditionally the crucible for expressing and debating alternative ideas, regardless of whether you agree with the expressed views or not. How a conflict arises between a student and a lecturer around the ownership and interpretation of ideas lies at the centre of this play. However, there is extremely strong and controversial language deployed in the telling of this story. It's only there to illustrate the crux of the central character's argument.
City College by Rex Abana.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roblox City. People pleasing, pleasing people. He's just geezing, fleecing people. We express these unexpressibles, unsuppressible. We shall stress them all with word and power and incantation. That's what you get.
Yeah, exactly. And Antiochus. Slavery didn't happen. I'll say it again, because I don't think they heard me at the back. Slavery, the transatlantic slave trade, did not happen. I'm lying. But as a lecturer in black history, for over 20 years, that statement has, at least, given you pause. For over 20 years, I have taught that Columbus arrived to what he thought was the East Indies and, like the deluded genocidal tyrant he was, called it the West Indies. And following that, he logically named the dark-skinned aboriginals who greeted him as Indians. But there is irrefutable evidence from the Olmecs, for example, that Africans were already there. You don't have to take my word for it. The Reverend Michael King, you know him as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., not only had a dream, but his nightmare was that, and I quote, "We are exiles in our own land," end of quote. And Malcolm X proclaimed, "We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us." What did they mean exactly? Were what we refer to now as Native Americans, in fact, African? And if so, how many Africans were actually taken into chattel slavery? For me, history is all about perspective, and the perspective of an exaggerated history has subjugated a race of people and is a mental slavery in the lyrics from everyone from Bob Marley to Kanye West. The perspective that my ancestors were brought to the West Indies, shackled and abused on fragile, rickety wooden boats that miraculously made it across the Middle Passage, has left students who I used to teach at City College with low cultural esteem. It's time to change that history and to cite those ancestors that were victors, not victims, who were explorers, navigators, pioneers, and heroes. That's why it's best to believe that slavery the way it has been taught, never happened.
I can take another one. Yes. You in the third.
Were you the first kid in South London to say, "Oh my days"? Because that's what it says on your Wikipedia page.
You shouldn't believe what you read on the internet. Do your own research. We still have books, you know.
There must be some reason why you're getting all this heat.
Great lecture, Professor Talley.
See you next week, Professor.
Make sure you read up on Kwame Nkrumah. He has a lot to say on neocolonialism.
I will, Professor.
And you sit in on a lecture you've heard 100 times before to ask me that.
I'm not an undergrad anymore, Professor.
You're acting like one, Alex. There must be some way you've got to be.
You were never this guarded when I took your course.
I didn't need to be. I was never interrogated like this. What's up with you, my sister?
You are infuriating, Professor.
Okay. I'll satisfy your curiosity.
Thank you.
First, you know I don't like firsts. I'm not involved in a race to the bottom or the top, for that matter. Secondly, you know you're in trouble when you're the first story on news at 10. Bong! A service at Westminster Cathedral to mark the 200th anniversary of the abolition of the slave trade was disrupted by a protester who came within yards of the Queen.
That's the reason.
Bong! Activist Rishan Talley shouted at Tony Blair, saying that a statement of regret wasn't enough, and called on him to apologise for the suffering he has caused his ancestors.
That was you who shouted at the Queen?
Well, more at Tony Blair, who, like Jeremy Corbyn, his ignorance is surpassed only by those who voted for
him. No, I heard about that, Professor, even though I was probably in nappies then, and I searched on the internet and I couldn't find it.
Oh, my days! Joking aside, it wasn't the proudest moment of mine or British history.
Why didn't you tell us this in your lectures? Why didn't you tell me?
I would much rather talk about the activism of others rather than my own.
I can't believe it was you who did that.
I was young. Political firebrand. I thought that act would change the world.
Still waters run deep with you, Professor. But aren't you afraid that now it's out, you'll be in trouble? Remember the visiting physics lecturer who was sacked because of a resurfaced tweet he wrote while a student for his support for Palestine?
Yes, Ibrahim. I liked him. Small guy. Built like a shit brick house.
And he was Palestinian.
And working at Tesco Metro now as a security guard. I remember Larry, the dean, asked him over to the Eagle Bar on campus for a jug. He was only a few pints in before he gave him his P45. No staff member would dare drink there now.
You're doing it again, Professor.
That's why Larry hired me. He said, if I could say that to the Queen and Tony Blair, then I was a man to head up this faculty. To him I was fearless, and in order to eradicate racism, in whatever form, implicit or explicit, we have to, in this lecture room at least, take the fear out of talking about race.
Yeah, but this lecture room is not the world, Professor.
Ain't now, but it's gonna be.
Yeah, but in your classes, even in the context of slavery, I can't say nigger.
You just did.
Yeah, but I know, but I'm not in your class, Professor.
This guy hasn't fallen in, has it? The world has kept turning?
Yes, but if I did...
Why are you so afraid of being called a racist? It's just a word. You can't be afraid of words. I've been called enough of them. We today are so wrapped up with saying the wrong thing, offending people. And that liberalism is ruining healthy debate. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and even Michael X used the power of language to speak the truth to power, hold them to account, and change the world. One day another Messiah will come, a black Jesus inveighing against the injustices of the times. Until then...
And would that be you? I mean, come on, Professor. You must have thought about it. You've been getting some serious heat in this, your last year. We've all been talking about it on campus. The student body, the Pan-African Society, all of us.
I teach history. I don't make it. And on that note... I have another lecture on the other side of campus.
I was going to ask you what you thought of my PhD thesis. I know it was only a draft of a few chapters, but did you get to read it?
Your thesis isn't due for another year.
I know, but you'd be gone by then.
But I'm not your advisor, Alex.
I left it in some chapters in your Dropbox just before the summer break.
I'm afraid I only read the abstract.
Oh. Is that as far as you got?
It was all I needed to read. I'm not your advisor, Alex.
I'm only asking for your advice.
And Professor Henning is okay about you talking to me about it?
It'll be my name on the certificate, Professor.
I'd rather not see.
The sky won't fall in. The world will keep turning.
Well, I didn't expect something quite so safe.
Really? You always urged me to push boundaries, Professor. That's what I did.
Well then, to use a football analogy, you talk a good game, but I didn't see it on the pitch, and on the pitch is where it matters.
I've a master's degree in black history, and yet you still think I'm some rich kid from Chipping Norton that has no passion for what I'm studying. Like this is some way for me to ease my white guilt.
I'm seeing some passion now, my sister. After I stormed the cathedral, I was detained. I had a lot of time to think while I was in the cells at Charing Cross Police Station. I realize that despite my non-violent stance, something inside of me, a passion, was willing me on to act.
Is that what you mean when you say you'd rather have a day as a lion than live a life as a lamb?
Professor Telly?
One moment, Professor Henning. What else do we have if we don't have passion? We're conscious creatures, born between urine and feces, that one day will become, as Shakespeare says, and I quote, a quintessence of dust, end of quote. That's all we are. To make sense of it all, we have passion. A passion to do what we believe is right, and we can sort out the wrongs another time. Knowing that freed me, gave me the strength and courage to think, to hope, to act. That's what I hear when you speak, when we debate like this back and forth. But not when you write. What I admire about you is that when you speak, you demand the truth. And the condition of truth is allowing suffering to speak. That's what I want to see in your work, Alex.
Sorry to interrupt, but the Dean would like to see you.
In his office?
No, the Eagle Bar.
Beautiful! Oh, what a ball!
I didn't take you for a United fan.
I'm from Essex. My family are from Essex.
Don't necessarily make you a United fan.
I confess, it's more about the beer than the game. Everyone knows the beer's better at the Eagle than the coach and horses.
Come on, Larry. We're only here so you can leer at the student barmaids.
I am divorced. I can leer.
If I had kids, if I had a daughter even, she would be that age.
You, on the other hand...
I have a wife that I've got to get home to, so... Can we please make this quick?
Oh, come on. We can get a jug. When was the last time we broke bread, brother?
You know I don't drink.
Since when?
Since the forever we have known each other.
So all those nights at the coach, you were...
Sober.
And lying.
That lie revealed the truth. Don't you remember that one time? It was about the time you and Emma were having problems. Mm. You were only two vodkas in and you were able to offload and it was all good.
Can we get a jug over here, please?
Okay, no problem.
Thanks.
It's obviously not all good. What is it, Larry? What's up? She busting your balls over maintenance again?
I just want you to know, I've got your back.
No doubt. You've always had my back. I haven't taken it for granted. I've been mindful you've done all you can, even going beyond what was promised. I mean, even after all I did at City College, nobody was actually convinced it would work here, but black history to white students?
Blackademia.
Blackademia in order to challenge racism. It took brickbats from other faculties to get me here, and more so when I got here, no doubt, Larry. I know you've got my back.
Well, I just wanted to let you know. In case.
What's this all about, Larry?
After the success, that first year, I sanctioned the lecture tour of college campuses.
I paid for the first two myself, all out of my own pocket. That's the only way I would agree. Nothing to do with the faculty, remember? Is someone saying I've got my mitts in the honeypot?
It's never about the money, Rash.
The tour was a success. Raising my profile in the sector of British black academia indirectly raises the profile of what we're doing here, Larry. Isn't that what we wanted?
Actually, it's what you wanted.
I spoke at Warrington Uni, Newport, Doncaster.
What about the speech you made at Harlow University last summer?
How do you know about that speech?
I'm from Essex. My family are from Essex. Some of the things you say here in your classroom, some of the things you say here when you're talking to me, I understand, you know? We understand.
But you got my back, right?
When you propose a version of history that's different from the one you teach, that runs contrary to the curriculum...
We always talk about changing the curriculum.
It puts me in a difficult position.
In that speech, I called upon people to distrust what they read in the history books and to find out for themselves.
It makes it hard for me to defend you.
And is this having my back?
You said that slavery never happened.
I never said that.
That's what was heard.
I said that it was my opinion that slavery was exaggerated because...
You said that all evidence of slavery was apocryphal and anecdotal. And you besmirched the memory of Martin Luther King with quotes from him to back up your claims.
Is it not true?
You said more. Well, I don't think I'm at liberty to repeat such slurs.
Is it not true?
I don't care if it is. You cannot change history.
The whole thing has been blown out of proportion. What I hoped to do in that speech was to counteract a version of history that leaves blacks in perpetual victim status. And once we free ourselves from it, there's no limit to what we can do.
It would be all right if it was anyone else but you. You're a history professor denying 400 years of the history you teach.
What are we talking about here?
The press haven't gotten hold. Yet.
So there's no fire.
But there's smoke. And if anything develops... I think I've got the chops to head it off at the pass.
Is the university sending me down?
It won't get to that.
You want me to fall? You do, don't you?
I've got your back, Rashawn.
You want me to take the decision out of your hands, make it easy for you. That's what this is about, right?
Why? When you're leaving at the end of the year...
And what if I didn't?
Look... I don't want you to fall. I just wanted to know if you had the stomach for a fight, if it gets to that.
Will it get to that?
I'll see you in the morning, all right? Say hi to Marcia for me. She's always on Facebook, daring me to come over for dinner and try her nut roast.
No, I can stay for a drink. Where's that jug?
P.T. Barnum at Barnrover 87. At last, some truth. Rewind. Big up, Tally. Peace.
Claire at Amber. Claire, a truth seeker, knows no fear.
Mandy W at the Mandy Horian. Medium dark skin tone applause emoji for hashtag Tally for saying what we all thought.
Trendway at Trendersbreakers 14. Hashtag Tally for Prime Minister.
What you got?
Spicy meatballs and tomato sauce. You?
I asked for chicken and bacon.
And what you got, Maggie?
I got American cheese, lettuce, tomatoes and... What's this?
Caramelised red onion, I think. Must have thought it was just for me.
Why would he bring it back here to your lecture room without checking it?
He knows I don't touch pork.
Oh, I get it. Even though it was clear he must have thought that the chances of you being wrong were less likely than him being wrong.
Oh! This is hot.
That only proves that you've been Clark Kent for, like, years, and then suddenly this semester, boom, you're Superman.
Would you pass the water?
The heat is on you, Rashawn. You used to get a conniption every time your name was in the Argus. Now there's a rumour around campus that you're going to do Jeremy Vine.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Aren't you excited? I'm excited for you. Seems I want to be you more than you want to be you right now. You're all my students talk about. What's the name of that other one? You know, you were with her Tuesday after class.
Alexandra.
Alexandra de Pfeffel Price. I'm supposed to be supervising her PhD. She's never turned up to a one-on-one.
Alexandra the Great, I call her. Uber smart. Sharp. We jawbone from time to time.
I know. She was still drunk on your cocktail of knowledge and inspiration when I walked in.
You're a good lecturer, if that's what you're getting at.
Don't need you to tell me that. They told me that at Newnham.
All right, then. You're a better lecturer than you think.
You only think that because I was first taught by you.
No, it's because you're young.
Too young, you said.
I wouldn't have advised hitting the chalkboard soon after doing a master's.
If I can recall, you didn't.
But you've made it work. Because with 10 years on the clock fighting the good fight, you can relate to your students in ways that I can't.
Is that because I'm much closer to the ground than you are?
No, it's because you speak their language. You speak their vocabulary on social media and such like. I was on Twitter for a month. I kept having arguments with people that didn't even have profile pictures.
Then if I'm so good, why haven't you recommended me to the dean to replace you?
How do you know I haven't? We talked of nothing else but you at the Eagle.
Yours are big shoes to fill. I've seen you take a bunch of glazed-eyed preppies who are only there to make their transcript look more diverse. And then you stand there like Dave Chappelle and you break it down, and out goes their indifference, out goes their guilt, and after class they rush down to the pit, doe-eyed, and you with your hand out with them eating out of your brain.
I don't want to be their hero, Maggie.
I never said you were.
You called me Superman.
At least the haters have stopped calling you Aurea.
I prefer Uncle Dom.
No black person prefers that.
Well, when you finish speaking for black people, I will tell you why. If those haters took the time to read Harriet Beecher Stowe's novel...
You know I know this.
They will know that Uncle Tom was the character that helped black folk. It was Sambo that was the turncoat.
And they call you that as well. You really should go back on social media.
This is the kind of misrepresentation designed to affect black self-esteem.
I suppose that would matter if slavery happened.
Look, I agree that humour sugars the pill, but it's not just that we
well,
have...
Tell me. I need your advice of how to relate to white students. They don't turn up to my lectures, even when they're there. I know they see the emptiness in my peroration. I would see a sea of disinterested pale faces. And if I could hear what they were thinking, I would hear them say, what the hell does she know about black history?
What does your husband say?
Well, you can say his name. Still wondering why I married him.
What does he say?
When he's not smoking skunk or gone for days at a time, he tells me to believe in myself and all that bull. He says, as long as I'm getting paid, why do I want job satisfaction as well?
He may be right.
Is that why I have to tell myself, because I'm not you?
Thanks for giving me the heads up, by the way.
And you didn't get your P45, I take it?
When I'm leaving anyway, Margot.
When are you leaving, Rashaan?
That's a piece of string question.
All you've announced is your intention to retire. And that was when? A year ago. You've been doing a lap of honour. And then suddenly last summer... You haven't said any more about it.
I will leave when my legacy is established.
Do you want them to put up a statue?
Not a statue.
If you want to keep fighting the good fight, you could go back to City College. I remember when I was sitting here. No. If you think back to your classroom at City College, I'd be sitting here. I was too in awe of you to sit up front. And besides, you only had eyes for what's-her-name?
Yaya.
Beautiful girl. She never found a mirror she didn't like.
Fortunately, her tits were in her brain.
There was always a swing in your tail when she walked into class.
And her boyfriend. They were joined at the lip.
Kwame.
Kwame. His real name was something like Roderick Carter, wasn't it?
He hated me.
He hated everyone. Unless you returned his hotep, he would shut you down.
I remember sitting surrounded by brothers and sisters in every shade, afraid to say anything just in case I got lynched. I thought they'd say...
What are you talking about, white girl?
But when you spoke, you gave me the same speech I heard you give to Alex.
And that truth set you free?
Yes, sir, your truth. I had passion. I belonged. I listened more and I feared less. I became black on the inside. An Oreo, one of those new ones covered in white chocolate.
You finish yours?
With you giving me a recommendation to the dean, then it's as good as in the bag. We must celebrate.
There are other candidates, Maggie.
Are you free tonight? Just thought I'd ask. I always ask, but are you free? Could come over. No strings. Just see how much she's grown.
Larry wants me to cover some extra classes.
She won't know it's you. But you'll know.
That's also what the meeting at the Eagle was about.
I see. Another time, then.
This is Real Talk on the Dr. Adebayo Show.
Dr. Adebayo Show.
And thank you for joining us this Sunday evening on the Dawson Adebayo Show. In the studio is not only the man of the hour, but also the minute and the second, needing no introduction. But I'm going to give him one anyway. He made his bones as an activist, and now he lectures, although he's due to retire from the University of... he's shaking his head. Well, maybe I'm not up to date with his biog. So, without further ado, let's welcome Professor Rashaan Talley.
Thanks, Norton. Before we deep dive, let me first just correct, if I may, something that you said before the break.
Oh, maybe it's my job you're after now. I better watch out in that case.
I didn't say that slavery didn't happen in the way that you cited it. What I actually said was that it was my opinion that Martin Luther King, in one of his speeches in 1967...
Yes, but no one has ever made that connection.
I'm sure others have.
They may have, but... But you are an eminent professor, and I only know what I was taught at school. But when I heard what you said, the way you broke it down...
Let me finish.
It changed my life, and judging by the fact that the phone lines are a-buzzing with calls from our listeners, I would imagine it changed their lives too. And we have you to thank for that.
Well, I can't take all the credit.
Now, as you know, knife crime in London has surpassed last year's total. If we can get the message out there that our history, black British history, didn't start with slavery, then, to quote you, that would increase their cultural esteem and stop them killing each other. Do you not think?
Yeah, if I could.
Quoting from your speech has made you speechless. Maybe we should hear from our first caller, Brian from Brixton. What do you want to ask Professor Talley, Brian?
You still got it at your age, fam. You shouldn't be hitting the glass, though. You should be getting the ball in the basket.
Does your mother know you're here, Ennis?
If she knew, Gordon would have taken off her rings and slapped me upside my head.
I'm sure you've got better things to do than to watch me run hoop drills.
On Black Twitter, brothers be saying you educating black people as well as white now.
I didn't know the brothers were listening.
Oh, brothers were listening. Sisters, too. They were on silent because they didn't believe it was you.
If you would just tell me what you want and get out of here, I'm doing a class in less than 10.
Don't you want me to be here? You're looking at your kettle like you're waiting for it to boil. Am I embarrassing you?
Yes. You embarrass me because after the fortune I paid for your education, you still don't talk right. It's here, not here.
I never asked for that kind of education.
And the correct pronunciation... is asked, not arxed.
If I'm wrong, yeah, educate me. Don't belittle me.
Don't be offended, Ennis.
I'm not offended. And I think you find this pronunciation, not pronunciation.
Anyway, what did you think of what they said I said?
You dropped some truth bombs for sure. I didn't mind it. Folks got a hair. Sometimes the call comes from inside the house.
Whatever you want. You must want it bad to agree with me.
Some guy said, yeah... I'm blanking on his name, but it'll come to me. Some guy said, yeah, that it's common now to mistake the defending of someone's right to say things with agreeing with those things. I support your free speech, Dad.
I know your free speech is going to cost me. So, tell me what you want.
Nothing. I swore on my Jesus piece. I just slid round to see how you were.
You risk a beat down from your mother. To see how I am. What do you want?
How can you go on about free speech when I can't speak how I like?
It's not how you speak. It's what you say when you do.
And you wanted me to attend Eton so I could talk like a white man.
You didn't attend Eton, though, did you?
I didn't serve my full sentence. That school was causing me to lose my skin. Was there long enough for you to get your money's worth, obviously.
Long enough to be expelled, though.
I'm changed. When you see the blue brights behind you, you get pulled over, have a night in the cells, you have time to think, you get me?
I've never had a night in the cells. What do you want?
Well, since you brought up money...
I don't think I did. But then... So, how much?
20,000?
How much? Hell no!
Hear me out!
Hell to the no! Unless you owe some cartel for a brick of Colombian marching powder.
I'm changed,
man. Then you ain't never getting a penny from me.
That's a double negative.
You might be all levels of stupid, but I ain't.
I need it for a startup, a business. I want to school the youth them.
You, a teacher?
You're a teacher. And that's what you should be teaching the youngers. Mans don't need to learn about their past. They need to learn about bare things that can change their future. What man should be learning is the foundations of starting and managing a business. Tax, debt management, stress management. What they should be learning is what I learned at Eton.
A business rather than history. That's bullcrap right there. No.
They say...
Who say?
They say black folk talk about brotherhood while whites have been practicing it.
I stand corrected. I got less than my money's worth. You think they're going to learn business from a kid who got expelled for selling weed at Eton? You do that, you'll be standing at a bus stop waiting for a train.
That burn has no heat. You have it, and I'm good for it.
I ain't got that money on me right now. With all this brouhaha for speaking my mind, I might lose my job.
And so, weren't you retiring anyway?
That's my answer.
If you need cash, why don't you go back to City College?
You know why I can't.
Let me say what even your Ebony Tower colleagues won't say to you. It's like you've been poked and bleeding, but you can't see the red.
In English, please, Ennis.
This is your chance to cut loose, not fixed to stay. You've wasted your best years. You've been in the spare room here long enough. Come back to City College. The game is over. Come home.
Things are complicated between me and your mother.
Don't tell me what you think I know. You've spent your whole life telling me what you want me to know.
The answer is no.
I'm not doing this for views and likes, Dad. I'm not asking for yours. I'm asking for mine.
It is in trust until you're 21.
You can trust me with it.
Trust you? Tell me the last time you were at the bottom of the stairwell on the Yellington estate. I'll give you a minute.
When was the last time you were on the streets, huh? While you're trying to obsess over the past, young brothers out there don't know that Egypt is in Africa. And without the right teachers, they're left thinking that the ghetto is the only black authenticity. I've been there. I've done that. I want to change that.
That answer is the only one you're getting today.
Look, Dad, drafts and chess are played on the same board. We can disagree, but we can work together. You at City College and me using my own money to run a business course. What do you say?
That money is staying in trust.
Dad,
I won't hear any more about it. I'm your father, Ennis.
Get my name out of your mouth. You don't get to say that. Father, you are never there. Never my father. Never. You don't get to say that. You don't. Up until you made that speech, I was glad that folks didn't know I was your son, because frankly, I was embarrassed by you. That's why I ain't chatted to you in a while.
Have you finished?
There's some bullets left in the stick. But I'll save those. If you don't release the funds, as I know you can, I'll ask someone else.
Leave your mother out of this. Do you hear me?
I won't ask her. I'll ask your wife.
Who else has read this? Are you asking me to change it? Did you mean to give this to me? The head of Black History's office is just down the hall.
You're going to ask me to change it, aren't you?
Can you answer my question, Alex?
Only my advisor, Professor Henning. Only you.
But did you go to anyone else for help or advice?
Not about this, Professor. Well?
Well, most of what you've written is just a regurge. Recycling of facts, figures and quotes into babbling word salads, backed up by an extensive bibliography, but there's something familiar about it.
It's all my own work, Professor.
Oh, I know that.
But in the end, it was all carrot and no stick. I mean, what I liked about it was your reinterpretation of civil rights speeches that we all thought we knew so well.
Did you read my quotes about Martin Luther King?
Which quotes are you referring to?
And furthermore, the link I made between his speech in 1967 about the Pilgrim Fathers and being exiled in his own land. Yes, I did. But no one has ever made that link before. Unless you're saying that someone already has.
No, I'm not saying that. But what gives you the right to say that slavery didn't happen?
No, don't say that. I say it was exaggerated.
It's not what you said. It's what you infer.
Professor Tully has always taught me that...
You're not his student anymore. You're mine.
But what I'm trying to say is that he taught me about my passion.
But this is academia. You can't be just passionate. You also have to be objective.
Well, why can't I be subjective about this?
Because it's black history.
It's British history.
Which is also black history, and both of ours are white.
Well, then I'm politically black.
You can't ride two horses on this thing, Alex.
Yes, I can. There isn't a family in Britain that hasn't had links to the transatlantic slave trade. The freedoms we enjoy are due to their blood, sweat and tears.
You cannot change history.
But history, as it has been taught, even at this university, I feel has contributed to our guilt. Why teach black history to the predominantly white students on this campus? Sometimes I feel that it's only to make us feel guilty. And I want to change that.
It doesn't take away from my argument that the thesis as it stands is too subjective.
I took this course at undergraduate and postgraduate level because I wanted to find out who I am. I wanted to know my past. Because my family came from money, as a liberal, I have been castigated. Embarrassed to know that my everything, my father, his title, my name, may have come from the proceeds of slavery. But if it didn't, if the majority of slaves were already there, if slavery was exaggerated, then I think the world should know.
Yes, but if you say it, it looks like...
Well, like what?
Well, look, when critiquing race theory, you have to be sensitive.
Why does it depend on who is saying it?
Shouldn't be having this discussion with me.
No, you say it. I've just sat there in one of your lectures. You had the undergrads eating out of your brain. And by just standing there, you say it. And I bet you say it every time you take to that lectern.
I teach what the curriculum is.
History evolves. Every day we are finding new things out about science, technology, and so why can't we with history in this supposed post-race world? All we have done is apologise about our role in the transatlantic slave trade, as bad as it was, and the guilt that has come from that has obscured a proper analysis of the facts.
Are you saying all white people are guilty?
You're not. It was you who inspired me to do the course. Professor Tully cited you as an example of someone who wasn't afraid to be critical about race.
And do you intend for this to stay on the shelves?
No. My uncle is in publishing. He's already lined up a book deal after my viva.
Are you prepared for the inevitable blowback?
I'd rather live a day as a lion than a life as a lamb. But if I have gone down the wrong road on this, will you let me know?
Professor Tully has taught you well.
Well, he taught you too.
No, I haven't got your passion.
I'd like to thank Dean Johnson for inviting me here. And I'm truly honoured and privileged to see that so many of you have been drawn away from the student union bar. I must say I'm thrilled to be at Peterborough University, which has a tradition of open and democratic discussion, and I look forward to having a full and frank conversation because, as we say in academia...
Fascist, go home! Fascist, go home! Fascist,
riddle me
go
this!
Home.
How can I be a fascist?
Fascist, go home!
Hey,
fascist,
hey! Ho, ho! Dr.
Tally has got to go! Hey, hey! Go home! That racist fascist!
I don't mind you protesting. I don't mind you protesting. That's your right. It's Professor Tally, actually. But look, can I at least speak with one of you? You, with the blonde hair and dreadlocks.
I'm a second-year student of history.
Wait for the mic. Wait for the mic.
And I am disgusted when you say that slavery never happened.
I never said that.
I cry every day because of the guilt that my ancestors did to my black brothers and sisters in the Black Holocaust.
Is that a statement or a question?
You see, that is why you're a fascist. That's what you do, Professor. You belittle.
Listening to respond versus listening to understand. You need to know the difference.
As one of the only black students...
You don't need to say you're black. I can clearly see you are.
As a black man, I was extremely offended by what you said. Your denial of history would lead to racism, surely.
Racism doesn't exist.
Is denial your answer to everything?
Racism doesn't exist. I'll say it again for the hard of thinking. Racism doesn't exist. Obviously I'm lying, of course it exists, but not for you. You don't have to go to the back of the bus. You're not denied access to patronized businesses. You have the right to vote. You're not going through the trials and tribulations of your ancestors because of what activists like me did 20 years ago. And we did it. So you can sit here today...
Hey, look! And a black man with white privilege! Hey, hey! Ho, ho! Professor Tally!
And you are denying your privilege and opting to be oppressed! Choosing to be victims! What you have to realize is that most white people, as most people, are struggling. They can't pay bills, are denied opportunities, and can't afford the education that you deny. Okay, and so rather than no platform me, let's have a debate.
All this talk of oppression is triggering my anxiety.
Oh, please. Just because you don't want to hear what I have to say doesn't mean I'll stop saying it.
Tally out! Tally out! Tally out!
Let me speak. I'm a lot less dangerous than you think. I am more dangerous if you silence me.
Tally out! Tally out!
Dog 5 at Dog 519. Is Rashan Tally institutionally racist?
This Nigerian girl at this Niger girl. Rashan Tally is a racist that uses the faces of dead black slaves to empower himself.
Dirk Wiggler at Dirk Wiggler 47. I'll Shah Tally for the bands. Hashtag pizza lover.
J.J.R. Joe at Ice Age 8999. I see Rashan Tally is trending. I hope he's dead.
Scott Robinson at Not That One 1969. If you prick Rashan Tally, would he bleed?
Well, the fit has well and truly hit the shank.
It was nothing, really.
Then what is that? What, a graze on your forehead?
Just swivel-headed students wanting to make a name for themselves.
I thought you would have kept your head down.
I had to fulfill my contractual obligations. I took the liberty of ordering for you. Cheers.
Well, I managed to convince the Times that it was a nothing burger. But the Mail is going to run with a story calling you a slavery denier in tomorrow's edition. Others will pick it up, you know how they be.
Did you explain to the board?
I haven't, as yet. I wanted to know your position.
You know my position, it's right in front of you. You have my back, right? Right?
Did you hear what I just said? The first black British head of this faculty is going to be front page news tomorrow. Within 24 hours, we'll have every hack beaten down my door, demanding a quote or someone's head on a pike.
What do the board expect me to do?
Resign, Rashan.
They're shutting me down, Larry.
I'm willing to lay down in the middle of the road and fight against your rustication.
And they're shutting me down because they don't like what I'm saying. I won't be shut down.
Then say it somewhere else after you retire.
But my job isn't done here.
What more can you do in a couple of months?
We have started a project here, and we're just getting to the point that we dreamed about.
This is not just about you, Rashan.
I will not succumb to the Twitterati and the woke brigade that have consumed all the air in the lecture room.
You should have gotten a booth if you're going to be this loud.
In our day, universities were a place where we could debate issues of the day, where the limits of free speech could be tested. Now universities are breeding grounds for death, liberalism and STDs.
I agree with you, in principle, but I am not going to steer my ship into the storm.
This is a wage issue. What's going to happen going forward? Do I have to check my mirrors every time I say something?
The issue is, Rashan, that we're on the brink of what may become a national story. In our department, we teach history. We don't create it.
What are my options?
Well, you can issue an apology, unreserved, and if that doesn't dampen the flames, you resign.
I'm not apologising.
Oh, come on. That's the very least you can do.
What for? All I did was say what we all knew.
To some, what you said was very offensive.
Only if you have an IQ of room temperature.
First, slavery didn't happen.
Only if you need trigger warnings
and then,
only
racism
if you
doesn't
want
exist.
To live in a safe space.
Well, the board are asking for your apology and resignation for the good of this institution. They understand your predicament. Do not bite the hand that's feeding you, Rashan.
Go back to them, please. Can't you plead the right to free speech?
You have no rights to free speech here.
Surely I can say what I like.
It's not free if we're paying the note on your Tesla and the mortgage on your Riverview in the Cotswolds.
My speeches have been on my own time.
But the board knows that it was to benefit the faculty. However, I had a little trouble justifying the funding for your speech at Harlow University last year.
I used my own money.
But you neglected to pay for your staff.
I didn't have any staff.
Margot Henning asked me to authorise her transport, hotel and expenses. She said she ran it by you.
She didn't run it by me.
Anyway, I had to run it by finance and the board.
Why didn't you run it by me?
We hadn't broken bread in a while, Rashan. Hey, and what would you have said to me if I didn't allow your staff to join you? The speeches were going well, so I saw no problem in informing them that it was ultimately to benefit the university. So to them, you were on the clock.
If you were me, what would you do?
I'd give up this fight. There'll be others worth having.
This is the fight, Larry.
We're up against a man, and we lost. We're not those young firebrands who protested against the poll tax anymore. It's time to grow up. I'll make a statement tomorrow afternoon where I will announce your future. Before then, I expect to have your resignation on my desk in the morning.
You don't understand. This is the only place where I can speak my mind.
You could always go back to City College.
Great lecture, Professor.
Will you close the door, please?
Why? Have you got something to hide? You got my text, I take it. The words are the same, aren't they?
You shouldn't believe what you read on the
internet. Just answer the question.
You're exaggerating. No, they're not the same.
You said you didn't read my thesis, but the words are exactly the same.
What is this really about, Alex?
You stole my ideas.
Your ideas.
Okay. I'll break it down for you. You stole the ideas of my thesis and passed them off as your own.
Don't be ridiculous. You're a student and I'm your advisor. My job is to advise you on your content, and that's what I did.
You even lifted direct quotes.
I thought I'd catch some sympathy from you. But I seem to be wrong about everything these days. Is that all you have to say? I'm getting my ass kicked for speaking out for freedom of speech. And all you ask is where I got my ideas from? They're mine, damn it. Where do you think I got them?
They are my ideas, Professor.
No, you answer my question. You come here making scurrilous accusations when a simple examination of the facts will garner the answers you require.
They are my ideas, Professor.
If what you're saying is true, who gave you your ideas, inspired them and prompted you to think in the right way?
Of course, it was you, Professor. But what I'm saying...
I provide the environment for any ideas to flourish. I not only prompted and probed you, but more often than not, I already have the answers that you're seeking, and my job is to get you there. You only picked up what I was laying down. So again, whose ideas are they really?
Well, when they start putting the professor's name on the PhD certificates, I'll let you know.
I've fed your brain at undergraduate and graduate level. You've attended my every class and my every speech. You speak the language that I have given you. If I cut you, you would bleed me. So I ask you again. Where do you think those words came from?
I have free speech, Professor.
Then say nigger outside this class and wait to get your ass kicked.
Oh, one day when this class is the world, Professor, I will. But until then, are you saying only you can say that slavery didn't happen?
You're damn right I am.
I think you'll find that your race card has been declined. Can you use another argument?
You can't have it both ways. I've provided a forum for brothers and sisters of all shades to debate about black issues, and that has given you credence to repeat my words in your thesis.
I didn't. And you're not just lying, Professor. You are a liar. You lied about everything.
Say what?
It's ironic that you teach black history when your own history is somewhat circumspect.
If that's a joke, then please get to the punchline.
Oh, I did some research. I thought I'd find some validity to your ghetto upbringing. And guess what I found? You were born Richard Talley in Frimley to a nice middle-class family, doctor father and accountant mother. They wanted the best for you.
The black middle class is not the same as the white middle class. I can assure you, my parents saved up every penny to give me the best.
And you got the most privileged education the British pound could buy.
Wikipedia is not the most reliable of sources.
And it wasn't you, was it, Professor? Or may I call you Richard? It wasn't you who called out Tony Blair at Westminster Abbey. You didn't spend a night in the cell singing, "We shall overcome." It wasn't you! Am I right? Am I right, Professor?
You pose an interesting counterfactual. What if all that was true? Would your education be any different? Would you have gotten to the point where you can passionately and eloquently bite the hand that has been belt-feeding you? And what about all this? Newsmen at my door, phone calls day and night.
You can stop it. You have never before spoken publicly about anything. Spouting nothing but homespun philosophy, you have been the establishment's poster boy for multiculturalism, never controversial. All this heat will go away if you admit the words were not your own.
So you want to be my white saviour?
Oh, it's you who sees things in black and white, Professor.
It's gone beyond that. I'm standing up for radical progressive ideas.
Oh. Ah, yes, I see it now. Newsmen at your door, phone calls day and night, no platform, and vilified at every turn. That's what you wanted. And you got it. Oh, it makes you great. It makes you a hero. You'll go from liberal appeaser to iconoclast. Is that what you want?
Is that what you want?
I want the chance to have my day as a lion.
Can't you see? Even if this is true, Alex, and you're right, which you're not, but let's say you are. If this is true that I have plagiarized your work, I will not only be finished as a professor, but my reputation will be shattered. Is that what you want?
What I want is not to be silenced.
No one is silencing you.
Then let me tell my truth. You may have built your career on a series of lies, but you cannot end it by telling one.
I didn't say you were right.
I honestly didn't think you would. But she said that you would be like this.
Did someone put you up to this? I knew it couldn't be all your own work.
My advisor. My legal advice. My lawyers have advised me to serve you with a suit for plagiarism.
You won't win.
I already have. I have truth, a paper trail, and soon the court of public opinion. Be afraid, Professor. If you don't know how to pray, you should learn.
Slavery. The transatlantic slave trade did not happen.
Scott Robinson, I'm at Not That One, 1969. He would bleed.
Blacks unite at BLM 24453. Should I be listening to a racist? He needs to educate himself. Seriously. Hashtag Tully racist.
For me, history is all about perspective.
Jeezy 3 at Weezy Yanni. Being black is wonderful. I take pride that my ancestors contributed to this country. Hashtag cancel Tally.
Cedric Lewis at Cedric 44555. Come, Mr. Tally Man, tally me banana. Hashtag cancel Tally.
Slavery, the transatlantic slave trade did not happen.
This is Real Talk on the Dr. Adebayo Show.
Dr. Adebayo Show.
What you're doing is positing a solution, looking for a problem. What I am saying is that fear of being called a racist has become the new virtue.
Even if what you said has caused offence to the black community?
And you speak for the black community, I take it.
What? And on that note, I think we should take a break. Katie in Chiswick.
I haven't finished yet. You're intelligent enough to know what I mean.
I'm intelligent enough to know when I'm being patronised.
So what you're saying is that anyone who counters your argument is being patronising?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the political left's attempts to silence ideas that they cannot or will not debate is a confession of intellectual bankruptcy.
But it's a massive leap to say that it's only the left that does this. So you're saying that you're the victim of racism while you're saying black people shouldn't be?
That would depend on who you ask. No, I'm saying that some commentators have a vested interest in perpetuating the slavery narrative. For some people, slavery was a justification for racism, and without that, they wouldn't have a platform to speak.
And you're talking about me, aren't you, Richard?
Why does she keep calling you that?
What I will say is that for some, racism is an industry. For them, it keeps them in a job.
And it's kept you in your job. And so you wait until the door is about to slam behind you to bite the hand that has fed you, and fed you well.
That shows how much you know about black people. No black person on this earth wants to benefit from racism.
Really? But what about activists and rappers and...
You don't know what you're talking about.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke nigger.
No, whoa, whoa, whoa,
you can't say
whoa.
That.
You can.
No, no one can say that on radio. I have to apologise.
Has the world stopped turning? Has the sky fallen in? What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid. There must be more to life than the avoidance of death.
Look, Richard, I'm on your side.
You two know each other.
I'm no social justice warrior.
Yes, you are. You must have things that are far more within your personal purview to deal with that you're avoiding. And generally, like many social justice warriors, the way you avoid them is by adopting pseudo-moralistic stances on large-scale social issues such as racism. So you look good in front of your friends and neighbours.
Oh, you do my head in.
Let's take a break.
Dr. Adebayo Show.
What you got for me?
Cream cheese, parma ham.
You know I still don't eat pork.
Oh, I forgot you used to be a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Have you been able to teach with all this hurly-burly going on?
It's not as bad as it was yesterday. It'll quiet down.
I can hardly hear myself think.
Luckily, my students don't have to think.
If you get any students at all.
They will come.
Then why did you ask me to do a sandwich run?
They're just after their 15 megabytes of fame. Let them throw their pebbles in the pond.
Look... You really should put this to bed, otherwise you're a car that won't get out of the way of an ambulance. Have you seen it outside? It's all going off. I badged the security at the arch and I still got shook down. They're afraid of outside agitators.
They have the right to protest. I admire them. Tell the truth, I would do the same thing.
So you admit it then?
There's nothing to admit. I'm saying that that's what students do. Exercise their democratic right, all heart and belief at their age that what they're doing is right. It was the same when I was at uni. I didn't have a thought in my head worth having until I was 22, but that didn't stop me joining in on an occupation of buildings for 6 months over something or other. A few of the snowflakes have melted, Maggie.
Not her. She's got some kind of point to prove.
Who?
You're a piece of work, Rashaan. You really are. Are you really saying you don't know?
I know they're rebels looking for a cause.
It's your poster child.
Alex.
You didn't know. She's leading the charge. Don't you recognise her voice? It's her with the bullhorn. She's out there fighting the power. And when she's not camped outside your door, she's handing out flyers. She's posting on the socials and rallying others. She's calling for you to stand down.
Stuff and nonsense, Maggie. Stuff and nonsense.
You've ripped her heart out. You should take this seriously, Rashaan.
I'm digging the nostalgia of you bringing me lunch to my lecture room and all.
I'm not your student anymore, Rashaan.
And if you've got nothing else to do apart from showing me how hot your ass looks in those pants...
It's serious, Rashaan.
Then why don't you talk to her?
She's not going to listen to me.
You're young. You speak her language.
I spoke to her yesterday. She said she'd rather have a day as a lion than live a life as a lamb. She's one of yours, isn't she? Another little Rashaan, flesh of your flesh,
one of your mind. And as I keep telling you, sometimes you have to take responsibility for what you create. She's got your eyes.
This is not the time, Maggie.
I imagine her as the perfect fit as you cradle her in your arms. I can't help thinking of what might have been.
There was nothing to start with, Maggie.
Still could be. As I imagined her with you when she's older.
Stop it, Maggie.
Riding cupcake on your shoulders on a summer's day in Hyde Park.
Maggie, stop it.
I can no longer stop it than them out there can.
Then you should have had an abortion, like I said. I have a wife, Maggie, and you have a husband. We would be ruining lives, breaking up families for what? Casual fuck. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
It's all right. You have free speech.
This must all be getting to me. I'm sorry.
You still blame me, don't you?
I have to prepare for a class, Maggie.
Because I was not content to remain your dirty little secret. I remember when I was sitting here. No. If you think back to your classroom at City College. I was sitting here. You'd be wearing a dashiki, resplendent, giving the impression you hadn't given that same lecture 100 times before, giving the impression that you'd wanted to end, and you would look at me, and I'd know what you were thirsty for.
That was a long time ago, Maggie. Would you just let it go?
Late after class, when we were alone, I would engage in small talk, pretend to ask a question about something I didn't understand. And you'd draw the blind. You'd prop up the door with a chair to keep out the cleaner. And I'd be out of my clothes. And you would look at the freedom of my nakedness. And we'd do it right there. There's something about fucking, isn't there? You know when you're really going at it? After the slow caresses, it seems shorter and shorter as you get to know each other. The thrusting builds to a raw, animalistic crescendo. It's bang, bang, bang. And you're grunting and moaning and hitting and loving at the same time. And the harder you go at it, the sweeter it feels. And the more you hurt me, the more I want it. But hitting is still hitting. Anger in the hitting. Animalistic hate and anger. It never felt right.
I have to prepare for this class.
And it seems that you've always been good at speaking to the masses, but not so good one-on-one.
I don't need to. I'm going to ride this one out.
Why don't you just apologise?
Because this is a university where free speech is paramount for discourse.
I don't mean to her, to me. You're letting another man bring up your child.
You haven't come to bring me lunch, have you?
No. I stopped doing that a long time ago. Larry has asked me to cover. He wants you out. He'd do it himself, but he said he was too much of a friend. So I'm doing it.
Ah!
Oh, my God. Rashaan, are you right? Rashaan!
Unbelievable. They've gone too far this time. I don't know why you made that speech, Rashaan, but I am glad you did.
Thanks for having my back, Larry.
To tell you the truth, I've been with you all the way along the line. I've been there for you, Rashaan. I have. I really have.
I know. But I just want to get back to teaching my classes.
Now, you know what they say. A hit dog will holler. If she wants to go for the high-hanging fruit, if she wants to go at it, we'll go at it.
Your tea leaves are hard to read, Larry.
I cut the same shit myself. Few years back in my literature class.
You did? You didn't tell me.
Don't you remember? Those nights at the coach, I thought it was me who was three sheets to the wind, and you were sober.
When you were having that trouble with Emma?
Yeah. Yeah, I had me a poster girl too, before I was made dean. She was an area of outstanding beauty, but a pit diver supreme she was. I mean, she'd never let me leave the lecture room. Always, what do you think of this professor? And what do you think of that? And when I backed off, she said that I'd touched her inappropriately.
Did the board put the squeeze on you?
No, worse. She phoned home. Emma bailed me out. I put out the fire, but there was still smoke, if you know what I mean. But she never trusted me again. That's why, my friend, I am a divorced man.
And you still made dean.
I was the victim. Right? It ruined my marriage, but she didn't go postal. Not like this. Who does she think she is?
She's just a kid. Just a student on a protest that went too far. Don't be too hard on her.
Hard on her? I thought that her head was so far up your arse, she went around campus with a brown collar around her neck. And now she's accusing you of...
That's enough, Larry.
She started this, and I'm going to end it. I got a call yesterday from her old man. He's some big shot on TV. A pencil neck mouth breather, you know the sort. Probably out of some mansion with hot and cold running butlers. So he says his daughter is sorry for all the offence she's caused, yadda yadda. She's going through a militant phase since their divorce. But now her shrink thinks that yadda yadda yadda. And then the dipshit asks me how much to drop the charges.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything. So he offered 50, 60 for the coffers.
Those are some hard numbers, Larry.
That's chump change for him. And that's why I told him where to stick those numbers. Look, money corrupts, Rashan. You taught me that. I will not sell out the principles of this faculty for any price. Wrong is wrong. I know that speech has gotten you into a lot of shit, but that's the price for speaking the truth.
Thanks for having my back.
All day, brother. You know what you've got to do, right? You have to kill her.
What do you...
No.
What?
I don't mean kill her. Though... If throwing a lump of masonry through your lecture hall window is not attempted murder, then I do not know what is. But you need to stifle her, snuff her out, or others will follow.
It's only her that's against me, really.
What, and all those chanting you down for the past 3 days? What were they exactly?
It was just a protest to make a point. It's the same behaviour I've talked about in my lectures over the past 20 years.
So, you encourage this?
Not that, obviously, but I have advocated speaking out.
You condone this?
Not directly.
You cannot be seen to be condoning this. You're on our side now.
I'm on no one's side.
Yes, you are. You're the power. This is not City College. Since you, my friend, prophetically crossed the Rubicon, you've become establishment, baby. You're the system she's fighting against. You preside over young minds in front of your chalkboard, dispensing your wisdom, and to those who stay awake during your lectures, to them, you have the power. The power to hand out grades that will shape their future. The power to patronise and promote.
I am not the victim here. That's what this is all about. For us not to be victims.
If it ducks like a quack, you hear me? You are a victim, or at least you have to be, in order for you to get out of this situation.
No.
What's the matter? It's not like you not to have the belly for a fight.
Larry. There may be some truth in what Alex was originally accusing me of.
Well, I know she had a nerd boner for you, but did you really screw her?
Screwed her over.
That hickory dick of yours has got you into trouble before, but...
No, screwed her over. She claims I stole her work.
You stole her work? Is that what all this is about?
The speech I made at Harlow, the one that caused all this. She said I plagiarised it.
What, she copied it from an article or a journal of yours?
I've never been published. Verbatim. Possibly from the chats we had over the years. Stuff I couldn't say out loud.
But you said it out loud.
Only when I thought I was retiring. The last hurrah, but then...
Well, did you plagiarise her or not?
They were my ideas, my thoughts, but she wrote them down. Joined the dots and... Therefore, they are hers.
Sean, why didn't you tell me this before?
Before is not the problem. After is the problem. But...
It's all right. It's all right. Is there a paper trail?
I don't know.
Is there a paper trail?
A PhD wasn't due in for another year.
And you'd have been long gone by then.
That's why Maggie... Professor Henning is her advisor.
So there's no way you could have had access to her thesis?
She gave it to me.
Does Henning know?
She hasn't said anything.
Then we have two problems. One, the board voted Henning in as your replacement.
Have you seen her teach?
There was nothing I could do.
I sat in on one of her lectures. The last time I saw something so out of its depth, the Titanic had settled on the bottom of the ocean.
Well, she's heading up the Department of Black History next semester.
You can't have a white head of black history. What about Blackademia?
But she was your protege.
Then I'll apply for the job.
I wouldn't advise that.
Are you saying I'm not the most qualified to teach black history?
Why else did we have these classes? What else was this project about? You were here to teach white students black history in the hope that one day they would pass on that knowledge.
I'll talk her down. Get her to turn down the offer. It is still just an offer, right?
The bigger problem is that Alex has confessed to throwing the rock. Seems bringing you down would be something she'll talk about at dinner parties for years, or it'll make her a martyr for the cause of free speech. You need to go there and drop the charges now.
I won't play the victim.
Even while she continues to shit down your mouth? We have no choice.
Stillness might be the move here.
Heard that call before I came here. He's bailed her out and wants us to meet outside the cop shop. I've got the car, I'll drive you. What are you going to do?
First, I want to say that I'm sorry I did this to you. You have every motive to do what you did. I thought I knew who I was, but my true self was buried under cultural conditioning, other people's opinions and inaccurate conclusions I drew as a child and adult that became my beliefs about who I was. I spoke the truth, or what I thought was the truth, but I was lying to myself. But then I said out loud what I before only dared to whisper. Whisper to you. And that whisper became a scream, and I began to like the sound. But what I should have done was acknowledge. They say fame is the mask that eats the face of the wearer. But I have already been wearing a mask. I've managed to cut out a mouthpiece. I have a voice. And that voice is saying, I'm sorry. What do you say?
What are you doing here? And why are you saying this to me now?
Came to see my daughter.
You want to know if I helped Alex? You're right, I had a motive. It could have been after all those nights that I cried myself inside out. For all those times you would talk about a trifecta of lecturers to replace you that didn't include me. Reporting to the dean, vitiating the development of the faculty while I was only good for eating sandwiches in your lecture room. It may have been all those hours that would be opining on black history, but it would be one opinion that mattered. Yours. But it wasn't, because the fact is, I didn't help her. I've been loyal to you more than you know.
And loyalty is jumping into my seat at the first opportunity, is it?
I took no joy in that. I was just doing my job.
You were doing a job on me, more like.
I never wanted your job with you in it. But what you did made your position untenable.
I didn't do anything.
You stole her work.
You know I never stole her work, because the truth is I've been saying the same things to you for years.
We have a child, Roshan. That's the truth.
That's why I'm here.
Do you know how much it hurt when you said you wanted me to get rid?
I have a wife, Maggie.
Do you know how much you tore my heart out?
I'm risking everything by being here.
We have a child that you refuse to acknowledge.
Instead of standing in the doorway, can you let me in so I can see her?
You'll be in like the wind. You'll hold her as long as you need to. You won't even take your coat off.
How can I? When your husband thinks it's his.
I don't know. Maybe he won't once you tell your wife.
I have acknowledged my child before. This isn't my first go-round. I would have told you, but it wasn't a needle I could thread.
You have another child?
That's why I left City College.
When were you going to tell me?
He lives in London now with his mother.
Yaya.
She slept with me to get better grades. I think Kwame knew. That's why he hated me.
Isn't she head of history at City College now?
She did well as a single mum.
You were sleeping with us both?
I've changed.
What did your wife say?
You know her name.
What does she say?
We've been on a sleep divorce for years now. She's a childless mother. When she was ready to have a child, it was too late.
Just tell her the truth.
What can I say to her? I have two outside children because being with her wasn't enough. Some truths are hard to tell.
Some secrets are hard to keep.
I can't. I finally found my voice. Don't take that away by accepting the job offer. I'm begging you.
If you've found your voice, then I want you to use it to leave your wife.
I can't. All my life I've been speaking someone else's words, telling someone else's history, so much so that I don't know who I am. I'm a product of the British Academia. There is nothing inside of me apart from the whispers of my ancestors telling me that I'm doing wrong for the right reasons. I found my voice, and I've been battered like I've been in a ring with Tyson, and as I'm being given a standing 8 count, I realize that I'm still standing. I'm learning to use my voice, but if I cause anyone else pain, I'll put a bullet in my head right now.
He's gone, Rashaan.
Your husband?
I don't think he's coming back. He's known something isn't right for a while. All I ever talk about is Rashaan this and Rashaan that, you know. He wanted Melanie to be his so much he almost willed it to be true. But deep down, he knew she wasn't his.
I'm sorry for all this.
So now it's all out. Come in out of the cold. Stay.
Slavery, the transatlantic slave trade, did not happen.
Tom Soyle at TSS Oil.
I'm lying.
What is this woman saying? Hashtag cancel Alex.
Robert K. Wyatt at MSI. Glad I don't have to listen to that prick again.
For me,
hashtag cancel Alex.
Chair at Shirley Tappers. If she dies, maybe she'll be reincarnated as a slave. Hashtag cancel Alex.
Leslie King at World the King of. What is the white equivalent to an Uncle Tom? Hashtag cancel Alex.
And now, as they say, for something completely different, here on the line is the first female history academic.
Actually, I'm sorry.
Oh, are you correcting me?
Yes, it's just I don't like firsts. First this, first that.
But being the first female head of department at such an esteemed education institution...
Yes, but how would you like it if I kept referring to you as the first black presenter of a radio phone-in?
Well, actually, I wasn't. I stand on the shoulders of many giants here at this independent radio station. Professor, we have you on this show to talk to us about your book. But before I do, and talking of giants, I must ask you about your predecessor, Professor Rashaan Talley.
I'm happy to promote my book, but Professor Talley is not who I've come to talk about.
I know, but he was a big part of your life. I just wondered if there was anything you could add about his fall from grace.
It's been a few years.
18 months?
Yes, but only an egotist keeps count.
I'm sure my listeners would like to know his thoughts on what's happening now with the recent police shootings.
And I think you should ask him.
Well, he's no longer with us.
Then I don't know what to tell you. You can ask me. I've dedicated a chapter on why black political movements have lost their impact in my new book.
Was there any reason why he left his post so abruptly?
He was due to retire.
It wasn't because of what he said?
That's a personal issue.
And a personal issue that you talked about in your last book.
Have you read my book? My new book? The one you've invited me here to talk about?
Yes, and I found it fascinating. And I'm sure my listeners will be glad to hear about it. But we'll get right to it. Before then, though, we've got some breaking news.
This is Real Talk on the Dr. Adebayo Show.
Parliament, we have just heard that the Leader of the Opposition
Hello?
Is speaking candidly.
Hello? Are you there, Dutton?
I'm sorry, Professor Henning. This is Joe, the producer who spoke to you before.
Oh, well, where is Dutton?
I'm sorry, Professor Henning. We have had to drop the interview for now. It looks like this is a breaking story and we will stay with it for the next few segments. I'm sorry. Good luck with your book.
Does it still say that?
It says that not only was you the first to use the phrase "Oh my days," it spells days with a Z, by the way, but you originated it.
Oh my days. No, actually, I mean, oh my days.
Well, if it's on social media, it must be true.
So true it should be inscribed in vellum.
It's not true, is it?
Of course it isn't.
You nearly had me there.
That was after my time. Now, in my day, we used to say...
Wagwan?
Sometimes. But our generation was wapun.
Like, what's happening?
Sort of. We used it as a greeting.
You never had an exclamation?
No. There was nothing to exclaim about in the early 80s.
It must be near time now. There's bare people out there. Do you miss it?
Why? When I'm retired?
You know what I mean.
Yeah. But it's time to pass the torch on.
It's good to have you here. There's this lighty that's been trying to add me. Mans could be simping right now, but I got to stay focused. You were kind of like the rubble strip that keeps me on the right road.
How are you going to start your speech? Give me a preview, son.
I'm going to open with some jokes. Keep it real. Ease them into it.
The one you do with the MP. If racism died tomorrow, he would give it mouth to mouth. That goes down well.
And because I'm known for my bars as well as my beats, I'll splice in some home truths like, if black people would forgive each other's wrongs, half the battle would be over.
What about diversity within diversity?
I'll come to that. You do things one way, and I do another. You say things one way, and I say things another. But we're on the same road. Then I'll end the intro with, at least now we can start with a nuanced conversation about how we can heal this fractured community and talk about the business of business without fear.
Mm.
Then at the end, I'll make sure I leave some time for them to ask questions. What? You're not going to correct me?
Language, like history, evolves.
You got your money's worth, right?
I got my money's worth. And what I admire about you is the passion when you speak demands the truth. And the condition of truth is allowing suffering to speak.
5 minutes, Mr. Acosta.
But remember, you're a teacher now. That comes with a responsibility. Their education is important.
Not if they're educated not to think for themselves. It was you that said black people traded self-determination for civil rights.
I know, but now we have those rights.
If we do, then why are we always wrong? Why don't we have a voice of our own? Why can we not get bank loans? Why do white people keep telling us what racism is? You get me?
Yeah, but there's still a fight.
Not on the streets. Not taking a knee, but in the boardroom. Creating jobs. Starting up a business. Bringing up brothers and sisters.
I suppose that an unintended consequence of our fight is that you never had to fight.
We fight, but it's a different fight. A quiet riot. We private message it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you may talk a good game here in the wings, but...
No, I take it to the court. You wouldn't be here otherwise.
Everyone knows why I'm here, Ennis.
It's not because of that girl.
Alex.
Yeah, that Alex. She made the best out of a bad thing. Is she still inside?
If she didn't throw that rock, I would never have found myself.
I thought a night in the cells would give her time to think, but it's been at least 2 years.
She admitted it. She confessed.
Did she confess to stealing your words too? Because I heard about that.
No. I have a lot to thank her for.
Because Black Twitter never believed that. You know, when the tide went out, you still had us.
I know. But it's been a chastening 2 years for me in many ways. I found myself. I don't mean finding myself like a 20-pound note in last winter's coat pocket. I wasn't lost. Finding myself is actually returning to myself. An unlearning. An excavation. A remembering who I was before the world got its hands on me. When she threw that rock, the new me was forced to confront the old me. The best teachers learn from their students. I have to thank her for that.
You should thank me for that.
It was you?
But I don't need no thanks or no acknowledgement.
You threw a rock that nearly killed me.
I didn't know it was going to nearly kill you.
Are you? You're serious? Are you?
I swear to God on my grandmother, I did. Sometimes the call comes from inside the house.
This is no time for joking, Ennis.
I'm not even joking, fam. They were chanting that you were a racist. My father a racist. I don't know, I was steaming angry and something came over me. I don't know.
She did time for that.
If she wants to make a name on a lie, then that's her call. What else could I do? They hired you to hide the fact that they were racist, only you were too blind to see it. I told you, I had to get you out. Otherwise, you still would have been there. And you wouldn't have got back with Mom and...
You need to tell the truth.
I just did how I was raised. What you taught me. What you did. At Westminster Abbey. Did you not storm Westminster Abbey? Well, did you?
Ennis, you're on.
Did you or did you not?
Right about now, we'd like to welcome back to City College the main man, your friend and mine. Give it up for the brother like Ennis DaCosta!
City College by Rex Urbano. Rashan was played by Cyril Henry, Alex by Pippa Nixon, and Larry by Jay Simpson. Margot was played by Heather Craney, Ennis was Kenneth Omale, and Dotun Adebayo played himself. The students were Justice Ritchie, Grace Cooper Milton, and Joseph Eyre. City College was directed by Femi Ilufuwoju Jr. and was a BBC audio production for BBC Radio 3. Sunday's drama on three, another chance to hear Silver Darlings by Tallulah Brown and The Shores by Vinay Patel, two companion plays recorded at the High Tide Festival in Aldborough in 2019. That's at 7:30 next Sunday.
One of our most neglected symphonists.
It's music that speaks to the heart.
It's too profound, it's too deep.
In Malcolm Arnold's centenary year, Simon Heffer unearths his troubled world.
It's now widely known that he suffered greatly throughout his life from problems with his mental health.
He would disappear for days, he would be on benders. I don't know how he wrote a symphony then. I mean, he was in such a bad state.
He was a victim of his illness and our ignorance about mental illness.
Malcolm Arnold, the tortured composer. Next Sunday evening at 6:45 on Radio 3... and BBC Sounds.
The opera director Barry Kosky is introducing some of his favourite music in a new series starting later this evening here on Radio 3. This week, it's the highs and lows of Yiddish operetta. Barry Kosky's musical stages begins tonight at 11 o'clock.
First, at just gone 9 o'clock, it's time for us to hear some more from this week's best new recordings. Here's Hannah French.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Record Review Extra, where sometimes we just feel like this is the best of all possible worlds, especially when we start a show with this.